The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, your word feeds your people with life that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated. So, girls and boys, questions today regarding bread. So, we've been during August having a series, which means one after another, talking about different kinds of bread, because our gospel is the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the bread of life. And Jesus keeps saying over and over again, I am the bread of life. You have to eat the bread of life in order to have eternal life. And he keeps saying, bread, 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 life, 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 all the time. And it kind of gets boring if you don't try to switch it up a little bit. So we've switched it up a little bit by having different kind of bread just to keep us thinking. Does anybody remember what kind of bread we've had the last couple of weeks that are different kinds of bread? Shay, what did we have? We had Italian bread last Sunday. We had naan the first Sunday. That was from the Middle East. Lefse, potato bread, from Norwegian bread. And Hawaiian bread, Hawaiian sweet bread, Portuguese sweet bread. Well, what kind of bread do you think we have today? No, not garlic bread. We're trying to stick just with wheat kind of bread. Flour and water, maybe some eggs or cream or something like in the sweet bread. But basic bread. Now, we've had bread from the Middle East, from Hawaii and Portugal and Norway and Italy. And today we have bread that you would find very easily in San Diego. What might be a typical San Diego kind of bread that you would see in the grocery store? Sourdough, if we were in San Francisco. Whole wheat bread, yeah, we're kind of hippie kind of folks. We'd like to eat that good natural food. There's something else. The song that we sang at the very beginning, Let Us Go Now to the Banquet, is also in a different language. See that language? Can you read that? What language is that? What? Spanish. So if we're singing tortillas, right, you're smart. So tortillas are the typical food in Mexico and in other places in the world. It's a flatbread, and it's made on a griddle. It's not put in an oven. It's made on a griddle, like you make pancakes on a griddle. And you flatten it out with your hands or with a roller and make tortillas. So we have today tortillas to remind us that we're connected not only with the people in the Middle East and the people in Norway and people in Hawaii and Portugal. We are connected, and Italy, we are connected with people all over the world. And Mexico, yes.
Are they corn or flour?
They're flour. And flour is what we usually use for communion, because that was more typical. They didn't have corn in the Middle East, and so flour would be used for bread. So we generally use flour, but if you are totally gluten intolerant, we do have a rice cracker for those people that can't eat wheat, so that they can share in communion with everybody else. But for our sake, we're having flour tortillas today for communion. So now it's time for you to go back to your places. No Sunday school today, but if you didn't get a study bag, get one of those bags that you can use during the service for your activities. So let's sing.
Jesus loves a little children, all the children. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Okay, our first reading is Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sights. He protected us along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So Psalms, let us pray Psalm 34 responsibly. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirits are crushed.
Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from everyone.
God will keep safe all their bones, and not one of them shall be broken.
Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished.
O Lord,
and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our second reading is from Ephesians. "Be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and also always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, here we are in week 5 of the Bread of Life readings. I've enjoyed being surprised by the different kinds of bread that we've used for communion during these past Sundays. And this gospel has taken us on a journey, too. We have made a journey through chapter 6 of John's gospel. We've stood with the disciples wondering, where can we get enough bread to feed these thousands of people? And when Jesus says, "Give them bread," we didn't know what to do. We heard Jesus and saw that miracle. We took a boat and sailed across the lake and had our fears relieved and our hearts filled with the true bread from heaven. And we've been urged, admonished even, to eat and drink the food that is eternal. And we've been invited to abide in Jesus. We've heard about this for the last 5 weeks. Well, actually, we've been hearing it all of our Christian years. We've been hearing it. And now today in the gospel, we're invited to respond to it. Did any of you grow up in a church that had altar calls or been to a revival, a tent revival or a spiritual revival where you're invited to make public your proclamation or your faith and come forward? I did not grow up in a church with altar calls. I always kind of thought that was for the televangelists and for people that were special Christians, and I was just an ordinary Christian. And so I didn't have to do that. I wasn't raised with that. But today, here we are, ordinary Christians, and we hear from Jesus what is an altar call. He's saying, if you believe, stand up. If you believe, come forward. If you believe, hang with me. If not, you can go away. These readings today give us difficult decisions, choices that are hard to make. First, we hear that story in Joshua about his tribe of people having to decide, which God are we going to worship? This God of our ancestors, or the God of the people whose land we are now occupying? This new God, whose followers seem to be quite prosperous, looked like a pretty good choice. But yet, the God of our ancestors, the God who gave them manna in the wilderness, who gave them the Ten Commandments to rule their life, who formed them into a community, into that tribe, that seemed like a good choice. What will they decide? And Joshua says, I don't know about you all, but for me and my house, we're going with the Lord. We're going with the Lord who led us through the wilderness, who took our ancestors into the land, into this land where we now occupy this prosperous land of milk and honey. Sometimes we're given choices that both seem good or both seem bad, and we have to make a choice. How do we make the choice? The letter to the Ephesians takes on kind of a militaristic tone and urges us to cling to the Word of God as our armor, as our banner. Choose to be clothed, Paul says, with the whole armor of God. But it's in the gospel that we hear this really difficult choice that's put to the disciples and actually put to us as we listen today. You know, the crowds are thinning, but Jesus pushes ahead with this difficult to understand talk. He talks about, eat my flesh, abide in me. What's that about? It's pretty clear that Jesus never read a church growth manual. He never attended one of those workshops on how to attract members to your congregation. Didn't find out what are the bright ideas from the mega churches on how to draw in people to your flock. This eat of me and follow me to the cross approach was not really working for holding the crowd. When we started this gospel, this chapter in John's gospel 5 weeks ago, there was a big crowd. Then the crowd was so big that Jesus, when he asks the disciples to find enough food to feed everyone, his disciples said, we can't imagine where we would come up with enough money to buy bread for so many people. And now, as the chapter closes, Jesus does not have a multitude, but only 12. And one of these is Judas, the betrayer, who's waiting for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to the authorities. Now, if Jesus had done some market research, if he'd had some good consultants, they could have put a spin on that language that Jesus was using. They could have developed some strategies and helped him come up with a plan to shore up the support after Jesus obviously misspoke and said, eat my flesh. That part of the message needs to be rephrased. Let people feel more comfortable. But instead of backtracking, Jesus issues an altar call. Kind of a negative one, but definitely a call for a response. Jesus says, do you also wish to go away? Not so much an invitation to go back to their life of fishing, but it is a call to make a commitment. We are regularly invited to make commitments to our faith. We make public promises when we recite the creed every Sunday. We witness baptisms and confirmations. We extend our hand to receive the body and blood of Jesus from the altar. That's all public. I read a thing that John McCain said. When he was a prisoner of war, and at the end of his captivity, they were given more freedoms, and they would gather together as a group and pray. And he was named the kind of the chaplain of the camp. And the interviewer asked him, was that because you were the holiest or the most perfect in your living your Christian life? And he said, no, it was because I knew the words of the Apostles' Creed. That the group, he was able to recite the Apostles' Creed, so you must be the one. So he led the community in prayer. He made a profession of faith and invited others to join that. Those are public. What about in the quiet of your heart? How do you answer Jesus today when he asks, "Do you also wish to go away?" How have you been answering this call in your life? In all honesty, we can probably say that even as we make these public professions of our faith, even as we hear this invitation to eat the bread of eternal life, we sometimes wish to go away. I know too many people who get burned out or get cynical in their attitude, not only about church, but about life in general. Maybe they've led a devotional life and now it's become so rote that it doesn't mean much, or it has become non-existent. Some people have let the habit of missing Sunday worship to become the norm rather than the exception. You've probably heard about, maybe you've even participated in a Gallup poll or one of the Pew Research grants that talk about church attendance or connection with organized religion. In recent years, the percentage of United States adults who say that they regularly attend worship service has been declining. And while the share of Americans who attend only a few times a year or seldom or never, that group of people has been growing. But the fastest growing group in these research and polls, the fastest growing group is called nuns, N-O-N-E, because that's what they respond to the question about religious affiliation. And there's another group, a new category, called the duns, D-O-N-E. These are people who were once active in their faith and in their faith community, and now they're just done. Maybe they still believe, maybe they don't, but they're simply done with going to church or participating in any devotional life activity or even private prayer practices. So listen again to what Peter says when Jesus takes that poll. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, Peter didn't always get it right, but he certainly did hear. He knew how to answer Jesus' question for himself and for the other disciples. The right answer was to look to Jesus and to keep their eyes locked on him. Did you notice this? How we keep our ears attuned. Dad and Mom heard that cry and both, like a shot, went out the door. Did anybody hear that? Did anybody else hear that cry? Oh, a few other moms and dads. We have our ears attuned. What Jesus is doing in this gospel is asking us to have our hearts attuned. So we hear like that and respond like that. That immediately we know where our heart should take us. If our heart is connected to Jesus, that's the kind of response that we would have. An immediate response. You and I, the precious children of our awesome and loving God, are given the necessary armor, the life-giving food and drink to make the right choices, to answer Jesus' question, to meet the onslaught of daily life. They both come back with no baby, so I guess we're all safe. As we break the word and break the bread and share the cup, we hear the invitation to abide. Of course, God is present everywhere and in everyone, but it is here. It's here in the broken word, the water poured, the bread and wine shared and eaten, the community gathered. It is here that we are called to see and experience God. About 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote these words that I think still ring true. Although God is present in all creatures, and I might find him in stone, in fire, in water, even in a rope, for he is certainly there, yet God does not wish that I seek him there apart from the word, and thereby cast myself into the fire or water or hang myself on the rope. God is present everywhere, but does not wish that you grope for him everywhere. Grope rather where the word is, and there you will lay hold of God in the right way. Isn't that a great phrase? Grope for where the word is. That's what we are called to do week after week, day after day, to grope for the word, to look for God, to look for Jesus in that word, to hear and to receive the life-giving word that is Jesus Christ, to hear and receive the promise of Jesus that you are God's precious child. No matter where you are on your faith walk, whether you are a nun or a dun, whether your life is giving you kudos or migraines, hear and receive this message, this invitation from Jesus. Hear and receive the words of eternal life that Jesus has for you. These are words for you. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And along with Peter, we can proclaim, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's how we make our decisions. That's how we make our choices. Looking to Jesus, keeping our ear attuned to that cry of God, feasting on the bread and the life, the bread that is the life, and following in his way. Thanks be to God. Amen.